Blog Talk Radio.
That was Thievery Corporation. The song is called Heaven's Gonna Burn Your Eyes. And the words, I don't know if you could understand them, were about fear and do you embrace it and what do you do with it. So welcome everyone to Spirit Therapy Radio here on this Monday night. Thank you all for joining me. Hi Gia, good to see you. We took a couple weeks off, one because it was vacation time for everyone, and also I just had no thoughts. It was a time of obviously gestation. So, and of course, at that time I wondered, well, 2 weeks in a row, huh? Nothing to talk about? Are we ever going to have anything to talk about again? And there's that fear and doubt, which is our topic tonight. And, we do find things to talk about, and hence here we are. So I think it's going to be a very interesting fall. I think a lot of things are going to happen. We have an asteroid coming through our midst today. It's got some sort of number name, but they also call it the pit bull, which I think is a very apropos name for where we are in the world with our pit bullness, because pit bulls can either be killing machines or they can be the most loving, kind, loyal animal you could have. And obviously we all have that in us as well. We can all be killers, but we can also choose not to, and we can be lovers. So asteroids apparently bring all kinds of energy from the cosmos. It's kind of like a rocket of otherness. So that's happening. Sometimes it's an omen, but I think it's the opposite now. You know, we're living in a bizarro world with so many things, so why can't it be an omen of good? But, you know, we're all looking at ourselves. And, of course, doubt and fear come in. Doesn't have to be a bad conversation. It doesn't have to be a bad dance or game with yourself, but it takes some practice with knowing how to, I want to say, muddle in the puddle of doubt and fear, because it can be kind of goopy. And we can also get stuck in it a little bit like quicksand, or we can be in it and not realize that we're in it and have been in it and have become used to it, and now it's a habit. So, and then we wonder why we're so stressed out and don't want to do all kinds of things, and there's too many thoughts going on in our head. So let's talk a little bit about doubt to start. Doubt. I doubt what you're saying. I'm not sure about what is coming out of your mouth or what I'm looking at. You know, it might rain, but I doubt it. Why do you doubt it? Something in you is saying, all right, I don't know if I believe this. And also, I have some sort of feeling that it's not going to be that, or that the truth is not that. So doubt, we have to have doubt. Because otherwise, we're just going to follow along anybody that goes, let's go down this road. Okay. I mean, you can't have an intellect and not have doubt. So a lot of what I do with spirit therapy is taking all these different sides of yourself and bringing them all to the table, to the conference table, and everybody needs to be able to speak their piece and say what they need to say. And that includes Mr. Doubt, that includes Mrs. Fear, that includes Mr. Love and Miss Caring. So everybody's got to be able to talk. And Doubt is telling you something and can tell you a lot about yourself. Well, why do I doubt this? Did my parents doubt this? Was I taught to doubt this? Does it just not ring true with me? And then you can go into a conversation with yourself and figure out what's really going on. But it's obviously some sort of trigger. It's something, and you felt something, and you're acknowledging that feeling. So I would say when doubt comes up, listen to what it has to say, always, even if it's something you're used to. Like, you know, I want to go to the gym, but I doubt I'm going to go. So ask doubt, why? Why do I doubt I'm going to go? Well, you've never gone before, or you only went once, and we've been a member for 4 months at the gym. So I'm just saying. So then I got a quote from Vincent van Gogh that addresses exactly that. If you hear a voice within that says you cannot paint, then by all means paint, and that voice will be silenced. That's it. Prove yourself wrong if you want to silence the doubt. If it's doubt about something that you know is good for you and you really want to do, but you just doubt it or you fear it. Fear, obviously, you're going to have to get over in a different way. But the doubt, I doubt I'm going to go, you can just prove yourself wrong. But it takes a mental conversation. So he says self-puppet theater. Yeah, watch yourself. Watch the strings that get pulled, for sure. So, and then let's talk about fear in that scenario. You know, I'm afraid that when I get there to the gym, I'm not going to be able to do the things I want to do, or I'm going to catch some glimpse of myself in the mirror that I'm not going to like, and I'm going to feel crappy, and then I'm going to feel tired, and then I'm going to feel hungry. You know, so there's that rabbit hole, that fear rabbit hole, you know, the many rings of hell or fear, everything's got levels. So, you know, you can go all the way down there and then try to work your way out. But the best thing really to do with fear, and this takes training with yourself, is to catch the conversation before you get too many rings down the ladder and then have to climb back up, because then you can go into all kinds of self-esteem and self-confidence and, you know, my mother never loved me and, you know, okay, now we're there. All about going to the gym. So how do you catch yourself? Well, we know the feeling of fear. We know when it's like, we should go to the gym. No, you know, you can get that five-year-old going, no, mommy, don't make me go. But we need to go. No, I don't want to. All right, that's a different kind of fear. But any kind that comes towards you, when you recognize that this is what's coming towards you, oh, we're having a fear conversation. You've already won half the battle right there, because you recognize where you are and then you can have a conversation with it. Same way you do with doubt. All right, fear, why are we fearful? What do we think? And if it's any one of those things that I mentioned, you know, you don't think you're going to be able to do it or whatever, you can always talk yourself into it. If you're presenting the energy of a child to yourself, then talk to yourself as a child. Clearly the child within you needs to say this that way, so you can judge yourself and go, oh, you know, I'm being such a spoiled brat, or I'm being like, you know, get it together. Well, or you can just embrace the voice that's talking to you and go, all right, five-year-old me, what's going on here? Like, why are we really upset about it? And then eventually, a lot of times I find in the fear conversation, when you actually turn around and face it, there's really nothing. It's just, I don't know, false buttons that went off. Nobody really has anything intelligent to say as to why we shouldn't do this. And then you go, oh, really? So this is just a bunch of bells and whistles that went off. All right, let's go. And it can be as simple as that. So I think that's how we're going to go tonight, is talking about different ways to sort of see where doubt and worry comes in, and then manifestation, because you're putting something into your crawl, into your vibrational crawl space. And how big is it? How heavy is it? Again, it's always going to be in there. It's a good level is a good level. It's just like bacteria, right? I mean, we've got all kinds of things floating around in us, and at the right level, it's exactly what we need. So, fear also tells us, I am a little afraid of going out on that ledge with no banister because, I don't want to die. And any level of that, or, oh, what's that sound? Oh my goodness, the car is coming at me, and to step back. You have to have that fear as well. So I'm a big fan of making friends with these dark side types, your Siths of your internal brain. I mean, Darth Vader was a good dude too. At some point, they just got a little lost. And of course, the anger and the hatred also goes that way. So maybe that can also help when you see someone coming at you with hatred or anger or judging or some sort of discrimination. You can realize where it's really coming from, and it's fear and doubt of themselves. So they're trying to make you smaller because you seem bigger than they are. And, they're just turned around upside down, not sure which way they're going. So you can sidestep that much easier. So I have another quote from this Jorge Luis Borges. He's an Argentinian poet, and it is, "Doubt is one of the names of intelligence." Interesting, because if you don't doubt it, you're kind of a dum-dum. You're like, okay, let's go that way then, because it's in my face, right? So, you can doubt it, and then you can really see through it. And the doubt is also very helpful if you can kind of flip it on its side when you're starting something new or you're doing something against the grain of society or the way your parents have done it or you've always done it, and you've taken a leap of faith and you're doing something new but now what? You feel a little like, well, I don't know. No one else has done it this way. Or am I crazy to think that this is going to work? Am I going to make money at this just because I love it? Does that mean I'm going to make money about it? So that you can also use doubt to your advantage, because with that, you can say, okay, doubt, I doubt that. Why could this not be possible? I mean, just because no one's done it before, that means it's not possible. I mean, at one point we didn't have electricity and we don't even understand it. So, yeah, but now we can't live without it. So to doubt your own doubter, your own fear guy, well, if you say it can't be, well, what if it can? And, what if it can't fail? How about that? How about, I doubt it's possible for any of this to fail. How about that? So you can always flip it around and it works. Doubt goes, yeah, doubt. No, just snap in your face. And then, they're battling it out. Meanwhile, you can go and do your thing. You're like, yeah, I got it, because it's a good argument. It's one of those good debates you can have within yourself. So, but I was going to say about manifestation. Oh, and if anybody wants to call in or ask any questions, please go ahead and type in or call in. So manifestation and doubt and fear. What are you doing with that in your vibrational space? I'll tell you a little story. So I got a bike a couple years ago, hadn't had one until since I was a kid. And I had never had a flat tire, at least that I can remember, when I was a child. And I'm riding around, and I see a few people are stopped with flat tires. I know some of my professional biking people, they always have a story about getting a flat tire. So I started to think about, am I going to get a flat tire? When am I going to get a flat tire? How long can I go before I get a flat tire? Could I never get a flat tire? So then I had this sort of, it became, a fear and a doubt that I could possibly ride this bike for some amount of time before I got a flat tire. And then I was worried about getting a flat tire. And once you throw that into the mix long enough, guess what? You get a flat tire. And I did. And then soon after that, I don't know, a couple months, I got another flat tire. And I was like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? Well, I did realize I was putting a little bit too much air in my tires because, you know, I've got a black girl booty. So, you know, you got to ease up on the bumps. All right. But still, two flat tires at the same time. Clearly, it's something that I put into my vibration and it's manifesting itself. And it's doubt and fear. So that was a good wake-up call. I was like, all right, I'm kind of done with this whole flat tire business. And then the season ended. And then it took me a few months to get into riding this year. And I realized the only reason why I wasn't going was because I didn't want to deal with the flat tire BS and the annoyance and the worry and it was making me not want to ride my bike. So, but once you can acknowledge it and you go, all right, this is some retard, you know, I will judge myself that way. We all do. This is ridiculous. You love riding your bike. So stop thinking that. Just stop thinking that. Focus somewhere else. So, you know, it took a little bit getting anything in motion. Took a little bit of, okay, and here we go. We're going out. If we get a flat tire, well, whatever. What are we in a rush? What are we in the middle of the desert where no one's going to, there's no help. I mean, it's Manhattan. Of course, all those things made sense to me. And I eventually went out on my bike and it's fine. It's fine. I've been riding for months now and it's fine. But I do notice that I watch everything that's on the road and I talk to myself, you know, make sure you're looking up. And again, just get off the subject of getting a flat tire. And the more I do that, the more I feel better. And I know that the less I'm putting that into any kind of vibrational pool that I'm swimming in. So you can apply that to anything that's something that's reoccurring or stopping you from doing something that you really want to do, like biking. So, yeah, that and not going too far down the rabbit hole when those voices talk. If you do those two things and you talk to doubt and fear like it's your friend, I mean, really, you will see the difference instantaneously. And right now, it feels like the best work we can be doing is to lift off our baggage of things that are just outmoded and we know we don't need. Or where somebody else is in the first place. And let go. Release those things. And it's an energetic release. It doesn't have to be some huge, you know, cry fest. Although it can also come like that. Sometimes unexpectedly. But, you know, just to get the ease going within yourself. On a daily basis and on a moment-to-moment basis, really, is what it's all about. Because then, once you learn the conversation of doubt and fear, when they come knocking, they're less bargy-inny, you know, less wham, wham, wham. Who's that? You know, you're used to it. It's like New York City sirens. Oh, there they are again. All right. What do you have to say? You know, is it important or are you just trying to get through traffic? So, yeah. All right. I want to also address, I'm going to play a little bit of Wayne Dyer. Because I think it's good to talk, you know, when everybody sort of comes together on a topic and gives some other sides, other spokes of the wheel, I like it. So, but before we get to that, psychic predictions and what's to come. And when you feel an uneasy feeling of something that's about to happen, you follow it, you don't follow it, what happens? And a lot of you out there, I know, are psychic and very intuitive and either don't like to acknowledge it or don't know what to call it or whatever, but everybody's waking up to things, and I know that you're feeling things more so than ever, and stuff is happening. So that, I think, it's a subcategory, because it can be doubt and fear just disguising themselves as a premonition. But it also can be an intuitive moment where some part of your inner self is trying to communicate something to you. And when fear and doubt jump onto the bandwagon, it can get confusing and just sounds like doubt and fear, you know. But however you do it, to isolate that feeling of psychicness and intuition, and when you feel it in other things, I mean, it's, again, it's a training and it's a paying attention to it, but as simple as knowing who's going to call on the phone, knowing that this ride is going to be a good ride to my destination, knowing that something weird feels kind of funny and then somebody calls you with some, you know, funky news. So to recognize that is really the best way to learn what your intuition is telling you, because it's different for everybody, and everybody can, it's your own personal conversation. So no one else can really tell you what, where, and how your intuition communicates. So, but that's such a great tool when you do that, and then you can know the signature of that voice. Every voice has some sort of signature. Either they use the same words or it's vibrational. I mean, that's how I feel things. I have a vibrational understanding signature for what the different voices are that talk to me in my head. It was really the best thing that I could do, because now there's a council. It's not just talking confusion with everyone trying to jump in. So I suggest to do that, however you can do that. And I think everybody just instinctually has at least an idea of how to do that. So definitely do that, because you can save yourself a lot of heartache. You know, sometimes it's as simple as, don't leave now, leave in half an hour because traffic's going to be better. And then you see, did you listen to yourself and how did it go? Or did you not listen to yourself and how did it go? Which is a very interesting experiment to do with yourself, because you'll find that you're telling yourself all kinds of things. And if you just listen, then the voice will tell you even more. So Gia said she calls it a board meeting. Calling it a board meeting. Yeah, man. I mean, that's what spirit therapy is all about, really. Being able to communicate with your heads of staff and everyone that works for you, that works in your head. So that's my idea on that. Just realize that sometimes you may be having a premonition, and but doubt and fear are also disguise masters. So they like to try to sound like the other voices. Woo, it's going to go bad. Like, all right. That is not how the voice goes. You know. So, and clearly having a sense of humor about it is extremely helpful. I mean, good Lord, there's nothing that will dispel doubt and fear more than a sense of humor. And when you can laugh at it, be like, wow, I am really throwing a hissy fit over here with this, you know, oh my God, is it ever going to work out? And sometimes even if you go into some sort of pit of despair, I mean, it happens, especially if this is all new to you and you've taken a leap of faith, or you want to take a leap of faith and want to find the courage, you know, it's a whole new ball of wax, really. It's sorry, got distracted. So it's a whole new thing. I forget what I was going to say about that. because people came in and somebody called Susu, and I was wondering if that was my friend Sue Kate, and then I kept wondering if it was my friend Sue Kate. Talk about the voices in your head. Do you think that's Sue Kate? I don't know. Is it you, Sue Kate, or is it just Susu? Hello, Susu. Anyway, so, oh, it's funny that that comes to worrying or being fearful of how people see you. I've noticed that in general, a lot of times, there are times where I forget what I'm talking about. It doesn't happen all the time, but it happens. And so what do? Well, you can sit there and try to find it, you know, especially if you're in a place where you could take a moment and maybe look for it. But you find it, you don't find it, and then you move on. I mean, whatever. If it was important, it would come back. And if it's not, then oh well. And so how people see you, so we can be so worried about how people see us that it can be very distracting, and all kinds of doubts and fears can come in that aren't even yours. You're making up, you know, you're the greatest mastermind, William Shakespeare, writer of drama, comedy, you know, romance, horror. What, you can write anything in your head because you're so creative. And it could be none of that that people are thinking. And maybe they're thinking what you're thinking, or worse, but at the end of the day, who cares? The only reason anyone would be judging you is because they're busy judging themselves. So busy that you just fell into the net of judginess. Do you care? Do you really care? I guess that wasn't Sue Kate because she logged out. Anyway, so really, do you care? And when you stop worrying about what other people think of you, what happens? Who do you become? And how happy are you to be yourself? And then the more you're just happy being yourself, well, then you kind of fall in love with yourself. And then caring about what anybody else thinks is just a bunch of baloney. And, you know, and then when you do catch yourself worrying about what someone else is thinking, you go, wait a minute, why am I, what, who cares? Just assume they love you. I mean, why not? Be like, you know what, I'm saying that they're thinking all these things. I'm probably thinking these things because they think I'm the bee's knees. I mean, like, they want to be me because they think I'm so awesome. Who cares if it's for real or not? It's whatever, it's your story. You're the one that's talking in your head, telling yourself your life story. It's one, like Joan Rivers said right before she died, it's one big movie, man. It's one big movie, and you're the star. And every day, it's you playing you. So why not tell yourself the best story you could possibly tell yourself? And it's amazing. Even if you're kidding yourself and telling yourself it's way better than the reality you see around yourself is. That's how you manifest. That's how you create something new. It's going, no, you know what, man? This is fantastic. This is fantastic. I have this. I have that. And even I'm the CEO of my own company right now. And you're, you know, living in a hut. I mean, you know, who cares? Tell yourself that and find that vibration and find what that feels like. And guess what? If you do that and you do it in the right way, you know, who knows? Something happens, and something like that has to manifest. Something like that has to manifest. So that's where all the training comes from. And everybody is their own best gauge of where you're at. I mean, that's why I've brought up spirit therapy a lot, but I'm very excited about it because we're about to launch our website. It's not up quite yet, but it will be in the next couple of weeks. It's spirittherapynyc.com. And the thing I love about spirit therapy is we're not trying to make anybody into anything. We're helping you find how to be you more to a fulfilling level, just more of you, and how to work well with you because, you know, nothing's there for no reason. You know, everything's there for a reason. So,
I'm looking at this quote from Tennessee William. Don't believe anyone ever suspects how completely unsure I am of my work and myself and what tortures of self-doubting the doubt of others has always given me. Tennessee Williams. I mean, he's in all the great playwright shelves and one of the greats, always will be. But all kinds of doubt. So I think we also all have different levels of doubt and fear, and it can come from our programming, either personal, like our family and our genetics, or just believing in something that this world's programming has put in. But, and comedians, without the fear, the doubt, the anger, the oppression, that's where a lot of the comedy comes from, and that's why we love them. I mean, Bill Burr and Louis C.K., two of my favorite comedians, I mean, you know, they're angry, they're weird, they're depressed. So sometimes you have to just learn how to have the conversation with your own people. I guess, you know, like we're saying, it's all your own board meeting. Whoever works at your company, that's who you've got to work with. So learn to work with them. Because you can't fire anybody. Anyway. All right. So I think I'm going to take a little break from talking and play this Wayne Dyer. It's on YouTube, called Mastering the Art of Manifestation. And just to set it up, in the beginning of the talk, his mother died 2 days before he was giving this talk. And so a lot of it is also about understanding there is no death. It's just the releasing of the body and an understanding that this, we're all spirit and all connected. So, you know, 2 days when his mother was after she passed. So he said some interesting stuff, and then it takes him a little while, and then he tells this great story at the end. So it's 5 minutes. So I'll see you on the other side. Wayne Dyer.
Lao Tzu said, none of you are doing anything. He said, you're all just being done. You ever have a sense of that when you look in the mirror? And you look at your body and you say, what the hell is going on here? I say, well, what's this chicken neck stuff? Where the hell did that come from? What am I doing with hair growing out of my ears? And I thought, that doesn't need it. I could use it up here, you know, but it's... And you have a sense that in this physical world, that there's nothing for you to do. You just keep this thing that houses your soul in as healthy a space as you can, but basically it's doing what it's doing. And you, inside of there, the infinite you, is just an observer to the whole process. And isn't that one of the things that we learn in our very first yoga days? It's just, don't be so attached to your body and what it can do and how it hurts to try to do that. And can I balance myself here? And can I do a downward, up or down or whatever the hell they call all of those things that are out there? I just do Bikram, so it's... So there's a sense of this awareness. So because of the time, I mean, I usually take 3 or 4 hours or sometimes 3 or 4 days to go through this, and I'm trying to do this in a brief amount of time. The reason that most of us cannot reach this exalted state that I want to present to you in the limited time that we have is because we have come to believe in our limitations. We've come to believe in our ordinariness. We've come to believe that who we are is not God, is not divine. All right? So in order to transcend that mentality, you have to sort of reprogram your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is the mind that is doing virtually everything that you do. It's the mind that got you here into this room, that put your mat down, that got you dressed this morning, that get your breakfast. When you get in the car, you don't think about, oh, how do I start this thing and how do I got to make a right turn here. Do I slow down? Do I not? You all programmed your conscious mind, programmed your subconscious mind to do all of these things on automatic. And according to my friend Bruce Lipton, about 96 or 97% of what we do all day long, every day of our lives, 24/7, is done by our subconscious mind. So we have been programmed to believe in our ordinariness. I don't know if you saw my most recent PBS special, but I opened it up with a little story from Portia Nelson, so I'll just share it here with you if you haven't seen it. If you have PBS, you probably have, because that's about all they play. And I'm very proud of that, and we've raised close to $250 million for public television. So, since 1999, that's been amazing. So this was something that Portia Nelson, who I knew, who passed away a few years back, 10 years back now, she lived up in Seattle, and she had, she was at a seminar, and they were asked to write the autobiography of their life in five chapters. So, and they gave them only like cards this size. Actually, they were smaller than this. They were 3x5 cards. So write out chapter one of your life and just go to where you are today. And I remember doing this very same thing, but what she wrote was so brilliant that I asked her daughter if we could put it on public television, which I did on the most recent show, and we made a contribution to Portia's work. So this is what she wrote down in the chapter fives of her life. Chapter one, she said, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. And it takes forever to find a way out. Chapter two of my life. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. It isn't my fault. It still takes a long time for me to get out. Chapter three of my life. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. But my eyes are open. I know where I am. And it is my own fault. And I get out immediately. Chapter four of my life. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter five of my life. Finally, I walk down another street. Isn't that great?
I thought that was very interesting to be able to break down your life into 3x5 cards, chapter by chapter by chapter. I mean, what a great, and that story of learning, but a lot of times we start from a place of blaming others or blaming circumstances or blaming something outside of ourselves. And then, or we're always blaming ourselves for everything. But once you take the blame out of it, then now you can really see that you are manifesting anything that you want. So to have that understanding of, I have a hand in all of this. I have a hand in what I'm doing. And to see your pattern, you know, how this goes and why you find yourself at the same place that you were just at with a different face. So anyway, while I was playing, we had a caller, and I think it was my friend Lewis, but let's see, hopefully he'll call back. All right, and boom, ask and ye shall receive. Here is area code 267. Is this Mr. Lewis? Can you hear me? Hello. All right. clearly some technical difficulties. So in the meantime, I'll just talk a little bit about what Wayne was talking about. Here he goes. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Fantastic. Hi, Lewis.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Very good. I'm so glad you were joining us. Lewis is our good friend from Philadelphia.
For a second, because I called on to the show a little bit later. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, that's all right. And Wayne Dyer was talking. You're like, the what?
Yeah, I was very confused. I was like, wait a minute. I gotta get my life together and 5 index cards.
Well, yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I was like, wow, could I do that? Could I put, what do you say on just a 3x5 card about chapter
That's
one
it.
And you only have 5 to get from the beginning to the end?
Wow, so, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's why I played it, because it was an interesting look at repeating patterns and an acknowledgement of the fact that you're repeating patterns and then making a different choice. And then before you know it, you don't have to fall into that again. And then you're on a different road, which is what she came up with. So can you relate to that?
I can. And I really, I can relate to it in the sense that when you make the wrong decisions over and over again and think that they're right, and then you go down another path and you realize, oh, I've been doing this the wrong way the whole time and not getting anything out of it, it really does work. I mean, if you do change certain things in your life, habits, communication, anything that you think you're doing a little bit, you know, you have a little bit of doubt with, or you don't think you're doing it to the fullest, you're probably not, right? So
yeah.
For me personally, I just going through a lot of life changes, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or, you know, recently, you know, I got more active with working out and eating right and just living a healthier lifestyle. And with that comes so many open doors, whereas before I had a lot of closed doors in front of me. So I can relate to that subject, which was I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it seems to come in a way of awakening, right? Like something happens, either you hit rock bottom in a moment, or you just get bored, or there is no bottom and it's just becomes too mundane, where you go, wait a minute, what, come on. And then all of a sudden it's like this clarity, at least the idea of clarity that was never there before comes in. And then if you follow it, that's the, everything changes, like how you said.
Absolutely.
It seems to be that
it
moment.
It absolutely does. And I feel that it happens, you know, once you let it.
Right.
A lot of people have that fear and they don't let things happen in their lives, and they continue down a pattern, whether it just be their daily life, whether it be alcohol, drugs, whether it be other addictions, whether it be, you know, relationships. I mean, you know, but if you desire something different, the changes are so drastic around you. You know, me personally, I just know that my life now is so amazing because of the changes I've made as a person, mentally, physically, and it just really does. It works. It works if you give it a chance. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that second. It could, but it doesn't always. It could take months. I had my major breakthrough about 4 months. 4 months into it, I finally was like, wow, this is amazing. And I didn't feel like I was working for this goal anymore of change. It already was there.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, the when you have to prove it to yourself. You have to and that takes time. And that also it's a sign that it's becoming a habit. And so there's consistency, because your ego is also another thing that you can't get rid of. And why would you want to? Just learning how to work with it. The ego likes it when it's proven. It likes to look at it and go, well, apparently you're right, because it's been happening for 4 months and we haven't had any of those bad days that we had before the 4 months. So yeah, something's happening. And when you can get your ego on your side, it does. It opens up a whole another world, because now you're not judging yourself. You're showing yourself that changes have happened, and that is so uplifting. I think that's touching on our God side, our creator, our divine creator side. And I mean, what can be better than that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel the same way. If you really let down all those walls and all the narcissistic ways and narcissisms that we all have. I mean, of course, we're all guilty of them and we're always going to be. But, you know, if you do challenge that ego of yours, you just see a difference with everything, with your life, your happiness, your physical being, your mental being, all those things that, you know, you think you have under control, and you really don't until you're completely happy with everything around you.
Yeah, because
I've been very fortunate, and I took for granted a lot of things, and I thought I had this very, very glamorous life, and I guess to some people I did, or I still do, but, you know, it all comes from this higher power who, he's amazing, and it's amazing, and I really feel that if you believe in yourself, first of all, you're going to get so much more accomplished, because that's the thing, we always are doubting ourselves about, well, maybe I should do this instead, because that's what I'm used to. No, do what your heart and your mind says, and see where that gets you. That's how I feel right now, where I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you say glamorous, because, you know, you were born glamorous, and I really say that more as a fact than a compliment. And I think that's an interesting distinction to make, you know, because I think that's where a lot of us are learning about being ourselves. And once you stop worrying about what other people are thinking, then you really start to see yourself. And like I said earlier, you start to fall in love with yourself. And now you have a choice. You can love yourself because you are a divine creation and you are loving and therefore spread love. Or it can become egotistical and all about loving you for some sort of greedy, you know, but at this point, I don't know if that trap is really like that. I think once you start loving yourself, especially if you've been doing the work and trying to be a good person, at least, you know, or more of yourself, the love becomes the love becomes the love, you know. So, but to acknowledge that you are, people see that you have a glamorous life. And because you are glamorous, but you may not have been living from a place that was really comfortably you. You may have been living from a place that was more about, you know, all right, everyone sees I'm glamorous, so I'm being glamorous, you know. So even if at the end of the day it's still glamour, it's you just being you. And that is what I think the most beautiful or glamorous really is. It's never a show. It's never the runway. It's never the clothes.
Well, so, you know, it's fulfilling. At the end of the day, months ago, it was exhausting at the end of my day. because I was just lying to myself and lying to everyone about things, but mostly to myself lying and self-destructing my body and my mind and creating illusions. And now I go to bed at night and I am fascinated by these things, the littlest things that I get accomplished before even 10 o'clock. You know what I mean? It's bonkers to me, and I love it. And it's not for everyone. And I'm not talking to try to convert people to change their lives. No, you know, what did we talk about before? Susan Power? The woman with the spiky blonde hair, what did she always say?
Stop the insanity.
Stop the insanity. Susan, call in if you're around.
It's totally true. Stop the insanity. I mean, it's a great tagline.
I would love the phone to start ringing right now and Susan to call in.
Hello, people. Stop the insanity. Okay? I said it 30 years ago. You're finally catching on.
Yeah, it's great, though.
Anyway. Yeah.
And I'm glad I called tonight. I'm glad I got to speak with you. And I'm going to try to see you tomorrow at some point.
Wonderful. That's great. Doing a little pilgrimage to Philadelphia, hanging out with the Philly crew. Always love it down there.
Nice.
Well, thank you, Lewis. Yeah.
As I lounge in AC. It's freezing in AC. I'm in Atlantic City right now, and it's freezing.
It's air-conditioned, Atlantic City?
I'm in the actual Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
And it's really windy and cold, but it's good. But thank you for sharing, and thanks for the topic, and it was great talking to you. And I'm so glad I got the opportunity, because I usually work on Mondays, so I'm off tonight. And it's been great. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, Lewis. Thanks for sharing your story.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Night. So, I have to say I've known Lewis for a couple years, and since he's made this life change, his brightness that was always there just blossomed. So it's incredible. I think it's really about listening to yourself. That's the most gratifying thing that you can do in this life, is to listen to yourself and honor yourself and acknowledge yourself. And that includes the quote-unquote dark sides. It really does. I think Lewis just called back. Are you there, darling?
My call. I didn't press one, though.
Oh,
I'm
you just
sorry.
Wanted to listen? Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Nice. Technology is fascinating. So anyway, Lewis, so as I was talking about, you know, how your life change was palpable, and I think a lot of us are because the energy is changing. Like I was talking about the asteroid that has come into our midst and is bringing this new energy. It's coming all the time, so it's easier and easier, especially if you're listening to yourself, to do what you really want to do. And once you start listening to yourself, that includes doubt and fear, and then your subconscious mind, bringing it back to Wayne Dyer, subconscious mind starts reprogramming itself and starts becoming more of what you are on a subconscious level. So then it's like everything moves up a notch, because now your subconscious mind is also working with you because you've trained it to go the way that you want to go, and then your conscious mind can go even further, and then, you know, it's like a tag team. Everything's moving together. So it really is a very exciting time to be alive. I mean, I've been in those couple weeks that I didn't do the show, I was just listening to all kinds of people. And Terrence McKenna is one of them that I started to listen to. And he talks so much about like the other worlds and why was I talking about this? It happens. It's funny. Some things like I see my notes and they, all right, I'm staring at this milking the good feeling to an irrational level. Ah, okay, that is what I was talking about everything going tag team and moving up and moving together. So I don't know, I guess part of my point of talking about listening to these other guys is just following what feels good to you and not judging yourself for what you're doing and following along, because like Terrence McKenna will take you to a whole other world. He's one of these guys that is the father of like psychotropics and using DMT and finding these other worlds. And so he brings it very well down to a personal level. So anyway, I highly recommend doing whatever makes you feel good and not judging yourself. You know, even like when Lewis is talking about, you know, you're doing these things and they're not good for you, or you're doing these things that other people say are not good for you and maybe they're just fine for you. And guess what? If you're going to do it, anything that's quote unquote, you know, society says you shouldn't do, if you do it with loving it, the vibration that you do anything with is going to make a big difference on how the outcome comes out. If you're judging yourself every time you smoke a cigarette or take a toke of weed or have sex or anything that you feel is in some sort of category of no-nos, the judging is what the vibration gets clogged up with. It's not really so much what you're doing, it's the judging. But on the flip side, you can be judging yourself because it's your higher self telling you that it's something that it does not want to do. And once you stop doing it, you find a whole nother level of you. So that's where it really comes down to you and the choices that you want to make. So in the last 3 minutes, I'll just say, one, definitely whatever choice you make, embrace it. Embrace it. And follow it down the rabbit hole, especially when it feels good. I mean, why else are you going to follow anything down the rabbit hole unless it's exciting and something that seems like a good idea? And then you see what happens. And I think with this energy that's here now, it's very difficult to hide the truth from yourself or from others or from the world. I mean, everybody's looking and everybody's right there with you. So... including you, whether you like it or not. So making doubt and fear your friends, that would be number two on the list of things to do. Listening to what they have to say. How do you make anybody your friend? You go, hi, what's your name? So tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, show some interest in what doubt and fear have to say. And then also... acknowledge when something is not quite right and something sounds like a broken record. Where is that voice coming from? And then it'll tell you. And I feel like there has to be a number three, and I'm looking at not too far down the rabbit hole in my notes. Not too far down the rabbit hole. You can see where you are. And really, the most stable place to be is in a place of non-judgment and not really sitting in anybody's court. You're just being, because we're a human being. We're not a human thinking, doing, conniptioning. We're a human being. So just being and acknowledging all these other voices that talk and then moving forward with trust and faith, as well as the fact that we all have God within us because we're all one. And so listening to our inner guidance and our inner self. And that's it. That's all she wrote. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next week with something. Enjoy yourself, whatever you do. Have a great night.